In the epistle of today's Mass, that taken from St. Paul to the Romans, we read, "To him be glory forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." Normally, when I'm preparing a sermon, I spend Saturday just sort of reading and going through different books and sources, but don't really start writing it out on paper until very early on Sunday morning. Well, I was doing that today and decided, after I looked outside and saw the beautiful full moon with the clouds surrounding it and the stars, and I heard all of the beautiful chirping of the birds giving glory to their creator, I decided I would sit in the front room with the front door opened. And that's when something very unexpected happened. Well, one of the cats came in. He didn't know I was there, and I didn't hear him, but he came in with a bird in his mouth. The cat saw me, was surprised, and then proceeded to drop the bird in the house, which made an awful racket and flew all over the place. And all of this commotion then scared me so much that I jumped plumb out of my chair. Now, I'm not usually one to get so startled by those things, but I had no idea what was going on. And then almost immediately I had this thought, which ties in with today's sermon. It was as if an angel had presented it to me, that this is exactly what hell and the world does to us. Those birds, this morning, they were all chanting their praises to God. Man, too, is created to glorify his creator. And we know that St. Peter tells us that a cat, if you will, a lion, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he goes about in search of those praising God to silence them. Well, again, the reminder is this, that man is made for one thing, and that is to give glory to God. The prayer that most confirms this is that beautiful prayer that we say so often in praise of the Blessed Trinity, the glory be. It's a reminder of that truth. We exist for God's glory. But it is said so often that we Catholics might tend to take it for granted. Do you know that in each Mass, we say the glory be at least three times? If you say your daily five decades of the rosary, you'll say it six. But in the divine office of the Church, which the priest says every day, the glory be is said a minimum of 58 times. It's as if Holy Mother Church wants to put this prayer on our lips to remind us that we are constantly to give glory to Almighty God, to the Blessed Trinity, in our words, but more importantly, by our lives. Do you know who St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi is? Her feast day is coming up this week on the 29th. She was a great mystic of the Catholic Church. Whenever she recited the Glory Be after the Psalms in the Divine Office, she would, as is customary, bow her head at the name of the three divine persons. But when she did so, she would offer herself to God in martyrdom. She pictured to herself that she was bending her neck for the sword and giving glory to God. Now, our whole life, both in public and in private, is meant to be one big Gloria Patri, a glory be. Every thought, every word, every deed should be such that we can offer everything we do to God without insulting him. In other words, our entire life is to be one long profession of faith. But is it in your case? Or do you sometimes get a little startled by that lion or that world that threatens to silence you? These days, everyone is talking about that Kansas City Chiefs player, football player, Harrison Butker, and the speech that he gave at some Novus Ordo college. Well, he said many good things in that speech, things which I do agree with, and which sound very Catholic. However, we should not, as Catholics, hold him out to be our hero. After all, even if he should die as a martyr, be killed for what he said, he would not be a martyr of the Catholic Church. Why? Because he is professing the Novus Ordo Catholic faith, not the true one. Sure, we can imitate his courage. This world needs more men like him who are not afraid to speak out. But our heroes are the martyrs, the true martyrs of the Catholic Church. Now, have you ever heard, most of you probably haven't, of the Vietnamese martyrs? They were quote-unquote canonized under John Paul II, so they aren't officially saints, but many of them were beatified, some of them by Pope St. Pius X, others by Pope Pius XII. They suffered during the 18th and 19th century, and perhaps one of the most famous of all of them was Blessed Théophane Vénard, pardon the bad pronunciation of the French name, but the sufferings which these Catholics in Vietnam endured for the faith were both harsh as well as frightening, terribly frightening. The executioners, you see, would kill the Catholics by a method called slicing, in which they would hack off the Catholics' limbs joint by joint over a period of time until the Catholic would eventually expire. Then they would use some sort of drug to enslave the minds of the victims. Some were even branded on the face with the words that translated into English as the sinister religion, referring to the Catholic faith. Whole families and villages, which did not at least show by dissimulation that they gave up the faith, were put to death. Now, the church in Vietnam was completely devastated at the end of the 18th century after so much persecution, but the Pope continued to send new missionaries. Well, one emperor died, another was put on the throne. This was now the beginning of the 19th century, and he promised his protection to all of the Catholic missionaries who would come for the future. And so for a time there was a period of relative peace, but after only a few years, the political leaders over there showed more and more antipathy towards the Catholics, only tolerating them for political purposes. But when the second emperor died and a third came to power, edicts were put out forbidding the practice of the Catholic faith in that country, and more political pressure was put on Catholics to apostatize. Officials would visit villages, and they would seek out those who were still practicing the faith. It was under those circumstances that Blessed Théophane, who, by the way, was a favorite of St. Thérèse the Little Flower, it was under these circumstances that he came to Vietnam as a missionary. He was only in his late 20s or early 30s. And it wasn't long after his arrival that he found himself already in danger. He had to hide in caves and woods. He ministered to the Catholics, mostly at night, under cover of darkness. But he was caught and it didn't take too long. He refused to trample on that wooden cross, which they were expected to do by the officials in the town as a sign of apostasy. He wouldn't do it. He was sentenced to death by decapitation. He was then held in a small cage for 2 months. You know how in those Vietnam War movies you see them, they're in the small cages, held as prisoners. That's what it was like for him. For 2 months, he did that. But his bishop, who was must have been an eyewitness of this, wrote of him during that time that he was happy as a little bird. He never once lost his cheerful composure in all of those times, so much so that the guards, they truly loved him. They would periodically allow him out of the cell to say his rosary or to go give absolution to fellow Catholics. While he was there, he wrote many beautiful letters to his family, which showed that his one and only aim was to glorify God by his life and his death. Here's an example of one of the letters he wrote to his father. This was written just after he had learned that he was sentenced to death. "Father, a slight saber cut will separate my head from my body, like the spring flower which the master of the gardens gathers for his pleasure. But, Father, we are all little flowers on this earth, which God plucks in his own good time, some a little sooner, some a little later. One is as the blushing rose, another the virginal lily, a third the humble violet. But, Father, let us each strive to please God according to the gift and the sweetness which he has bestowed upon us. I wish you a very long life, and at the end, a very happy and holy death. And then, Father and Son, may we meet again in paradise. But I, poor little moth, go first." As he was taken to the place of execution, they say that, and the walk was about 30 minutes long, he sang psalms and hymns. Well, when he arrived and was forced down on his knees to bend his neck for the sword, it took the man 3 strokes because the blade on his sword was dull to sever the head from this great saint. His life was given as a Gloria Patri and in profession of his own faith. Now, faced with peer or even political pressure or even the danger of persecution, ask yourself today, could you find the courage to profess openly and without shame the true God and the true church which he founded on earth? Today, our culture will have us believe that religious beliefs should be kept privately. There is no place for them in the world. Families fear to speak of religion. But we know that it is not enough merely to believe in our heart the truths of the Catholic Church. We are bound also to make open profession of our religion. Hear what the Catechism tells us concerning this. To deny our faith through human respect, to be ashamed of the truths of the gospel and practices of Catholic piety, and to deny, even by dissimulation, what we know to be true, is not only sinful, but robs God of the glory he is to be given. And then the Catechism quotes the Gospel of St. Mark. "He that shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man also will be ashamed of him when he shall come in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Catechism then goes on to say, there are 2 cases in particular when we are bound to make an open, a public profession of our faith. First, when the honor and glory of God demands it, or secondly, when the spiritual welfare of our neighbor requires it. And it gives us an example, this. When someone in public authority questions you about your faith, whether they do so justly or unjustly, we are bound to make profession of our faith, like the martyrs of old. In our society, martyrdom is not yet imposed on the Catholic for speaking the truth, but there is a certain amount of pressure applied on us by the world. They wish to silence that the Holy Ghost, who takes the form of a dove, a bird, silenced by that lion. They wish to restrict the preaching of the gospel and to silence it in the public forum. One is truly made today to think twice and even a third time about what truths of the faith he posts online or preaches from the pulpit. You know, we here at St. Gertrude's, our sermons have gotten us a number of strikes on YouTube and whatnot. Well, and to speak against the unnatural vices that are so prevalent today will only bring more political pressure. We need our St. Thomas Mores. We need our St. John Fishers and our blessed Theophans, who are willing to profess, in a world that hates religion, to profess, not to hide or dissimulate, but to profess their faith in this time. Is your life a glory be to the three persons and one God? Whenever you say that prayer, today and going forward, bow your head in respect to the three persons, but also bow your head, as St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, who bowed her head in imitation of the martyrs bowing theirs for the sword. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.